Hello there. This is a subarctic beekeeper, one of the many. This is El Hay. I live north of Fairbanks, Alaska. It is the end of January 2024. Temperature outside is a balmy negative 21. I was hoping it was going to get up to about negative 10. Last night we had about negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit and Celsius. When it gets that low, it's the same, whether it's Fahrenheit or Celsius. This is about the warmest it's going to get, so I came out to check the bees. I had some goals in mind. Typically I do, so I don't stand out here too long. I wanted to make sure that the heat is working in the bee barn, and the light's working, and the fresh air is working as well. I wanted to see how the hives are doing, of course. Lucky for me, I got a FLIR camera this year, and I've been using it to take infrared pictures of my colonies. So right now I would have opened up the tops to see if there's any activity, but because I have this infrared camera thing, I can take pictures and see where the warmth of the hive is coming from, and even if there's no warmth at all, which would tell me the colony was dead. Well, all the colonies are alive and doing well, and they've all moved towards the top of the hive. By now, the majority of their stores have been consumed. Not all of them, I'm sure. Try to keep the bee barn between 41 and 43 degrees Fahrenheit. Same with the humidity. And that humidity aids in the ability of the bees to access the sugar cake, which is on top of their hives. I actually pack it into the queen excluder because my polystyrene hives don't leave a whole lot of room at the top for me to lay sugar cake on top without squishing anybody. So that humidity softens up that sugar cake a little bit so the bees can access it if they have gone through all their stores. This year I've experimented and I've put Hive Alive fondant on about half the hives instead of sugar cake. If you've seen it, it's squishy. So it's not a brick like the sugar cake is, which is also sometimes called sugar brick. We'll see how those bees do. So far they're still alive, so that's good. So I'm looking around in the hive and I see dead on the ground, which is normal, summer die-off. Not too bad. I will sweep these guys up and I will take them inside and do a mite test and a nosema test to see if I've got any of those issues going on. Mites will spread very, very rapidly when the hives are concentrating on being in that cluster and keeping their queen warm. Same with nosema. I do see some dysentery on the outside of the hives, but not much at all. Last year I saw more by this time. Sometimes dysentery is just dysentery, and sometimes it's nosema, so it's important to test. I also wanted to come out and put numbers on these hives because I was having difficulty matching up the pictures I was taking of the hives with the hive pictures I have in my bee tracking app. I have an app called Bee Plus that I use to track how my colonies are doing, and I keep that all year to track how the colonies are doing, how the queens are doing, what hives I've combined, what queens have been used, whether it's Old World carnies or Alaskan honeybees, which are the ones I typically gravitate towards. They do well in this northern environment. Tonight, our temperature is supposed to go down to 47 below zero. Awfully cold for that reason. I'm going to add some extra insulation on top of my hives in the form of my trusty wool army blankets. I learned the benefits of wool from a Scottish friend named Anne, who has a great blog called The Bee Listener. If you haven't read her work, you should. She's very knowledgeable and very personable. I really enjoyed my time visiting with her when I was in Scotland. And wool has these awesome insulating properties. Wool has the ability to retain heat and absorb moisture at the same time. It's also real flexible, which I like because I'm an avid user of foam board insulation. If you've got polystyrene hives, you know that the tops are not flat across, so the insulation board doesn't lay flat across. But with these army blankets, it will mold to any shape that I put it into, so I can actually wrap the hives up in wool, which is nice. Helps retain that heat. By now, a lot of the stores have been consumed, which means there's quite a few empty frames in the hives, and there's less bees in the colonies. So we have a smaller colony that has to work harder to keep that queen warm. The larger the colony, the less stores they consume, and the easier it is for them to stay warm. So now the colony is smaller and there are less stores. We've got some dead air space in there and less bees generating heat, so they need all the protection they can get. I'm fortunate to have built a bee barn. Many people up here will overwinter their bees outside, and I tried that for the first handful of years that I overwintered up here. Don't let anyone tell you you can't overwinter in a subarctic environment. You can. Many of us do. And I've met people who've done it for generations and have great success. You just got to know what you're doing. It's not real complicated. I'm going to get to work here, cover these hives, take a giant sample of the bees that are on the floor. I'm not going to take any from any hives. I'd rather take the ones that are already on the ground and take them inside. I'm also going to do one of my favorite little pet projects is to put a bunch of bees in a box in a warm environment and then watch them come back to life. People doubt me that this happens, so actually today I'm going to videotape it. I'm going to set them in that little box with a temperature monitor and keep my camera on them recording so that I can post it and you too can see the bees come out of their chill coma, stupor, whatever you want to call it. Although I got to tell you, there's quite a few bees buzzing around right now, looking a little bit delirious, moving slow. Some just on the outside of the hives and some on the ground, walking around. The light in here for them is minimal because I'm using a red light bulb and they don't see red. I don't want to turn on a regular light because that'll excite them. And I'd like to keep them calm and in their low metabolic state. We've got a good 3 months to go, February, March, April, before the bees should be removed from the bee barn. If you've listened to any of my earlier podcasts, you know that I have made some creative efforts to take my bees out earlier because I get pretty anxious at the end of the season when I know it's the most difficult time for the bees. The queen has hopefully started laying again. For that to happen, the bees have got to keep her nice and warm. And those new baby bees are going to need some protein, which means they're going to need some pollen and they're going to need some access to some sugar syrup. They're going to need those nutrients or they'll die off. And I'll be left with extremely small colonies that won't survive the spring. So it's time for me to get to this covering of the hives. Temperature's going down, and there's not much oxygen in here. Getting a little bit lightheaded. So it was nice touching base with you. It's been a while. Hope you're doing well. Taking care of yourself during this cold winter. Taking care of your bees. Say some prayers for Ukraine. We'll talk with you later. This podcast is protected by copyright with all rights reserved.